Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast from Faith Point Church, Auckland, New Zealand. We hope you will encounter God afresh in this week's teaching segment. If you enjoy this podcast and would like to hear more, then you can visit us at www.faithpoint.org.nz. And now for today's message.
King David said this in Psalm 13. O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? Anyone ever feel like that? That's why we love the Psalms. You know why we love the Psalms? Because people get really honest with God in the Psalms. This is the great and mighty King David who's saying, I'm believing for something, God, but it hasn't manifested. How long am I going to have to wait for the reality of the answers to my prayer? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? And we all have periods within our lives where maybe you're facing a giant, a mountain in your life today. You're facing something in your body that you don't want to be in your body that is affecting your health and your long-term perspective and prognosis for a life ahead. And David's saying, how long, God? I feel like you've overlooked me. I feel like you've turned the other way. I've got deep anguish within my soul. And this is often known as the trial of our faith. Amen. Where we know what God's word says. I am the Lord that has healed you. And yet we're struggling with some kind of sickness within our bodies today. But I love further down in Psalm, verse 5, he says, but, and don't ever forget the buts of Scripture, but I trust in your unfailing love. Deep within David's soul, he knew that God wasn't a miserly person who was only restricting, I've only got three miracles to give out today. That he wasn't like that, but he had an unfailing love that would never run out. That David was loved no matter what he did. Yes, he paid some severe penalties and a high price for some of the consequences of the choices that he made. But he says in the midst of it all, when he's feeling like he's being overlooked, but I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. And God wants to rescue you. He wants to change you. He wants to minister to you today in this meeting. And he went on to say in the next verse, I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. In other words, despite my circumstances, despite what I'm facing right now that's in front of me today, despite what the doctors have said, despite what my friends have said, despite that the prognosis is looking pretty grim, today I'm going to worship you. I'm going to sing. I'm going to release my soul from prison, and I'm going to release my love and my gratitude to you because God is good. The devil is a bad devil, but God is good all the time. 24/7 of every day. And that but makes a big difference for us. David didn't say that he was going to stay in that valley of disappointment and discouragement. He said, but in the midst of it all, I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to trust you because you have an unfailing love towards me. And not only am I going to do that, I'm going to sing and I'm going to worship despite my circumstances today. That's where you'll find some of the heaviest encounters in your life. In the midst of trials and tribulations, when you say, nevertheless, Lord, you are still God. You are still sitting on your throne. And I'm going to trust you anyway. Where do you think David wrote those words? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Amen today. And so today we want to stand on the truth of God's word. Despite our circumstances, despite what the doctors are saying to you, despite what you may be feeling in your body today, we are going to stand upon these promises. Proverbs 4 verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep them in here. You see, what this is talking about, it's talking about connection. It's talking about being connected with the Word of God and the power of that Word working in you mightily. He's saying, keep it in the midst of your heart, for these words are life. For these words are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Jesus, Phil's already pointed out that Jesus went preaching the gospel of the kingdom wherever he went. And the Bible says that he walked among the people healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. We're talking about diseases that they didn't even have names for back then. Where people were dying, where people were ill, where people were sick. And Jesus walked in their midst, and the Bible says all that came to him, he healed them all. He healed them all. You know, he wasn't like us, you know, where we have like a 40% success rate or a 30% success rate. When you come to Jesus, he always heals. He always touches. He always changes us. And so, you know, where does this healing come from? Where is the source? This is where it comes from. He himself, Isaiah chapter 53, these were prophecies about the Messiah who was to come. And this is what happened to you today. And this is the basis on which you will get healed today in this service. That he himself has borne our griefs. You're going through a grieving, sad period in your life. Grief, Jesus suffered grief on your behalf so that you don't have to be buried by the weight of grief. He carried your sorrow. And yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. In other words, the world wrote him off because he was crucified as a common criminal. And he suffered the punishment of a common criminal. And then it says in verse 5, but Jesus, he himself, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. And the chastisement of your peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed, not might be, not maybe, but we are healed by the stripes that he took upon his own body today. So our freedom from sin and our ability to receive healing today, it doesn't come in the way that you say something. It doesn't come with a special phrase of words. It comes in the name and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. He suffered the chastisement upon himself so you could have peace. And by his stripes, the stripes he himself took, it's on Jesus. It's all in Jesus today that we can receive our healing. Not a formula, not a method, not a phrase of words, but in him, in the Son, in Christ today. It is in him. And I'm going to take you to a place in the scriptures this morning as I finish this message today. And I want to remind you why you can receive healing today as you partake at the end of this service of the emblems of Holy Communion. Did you know that the Psalms gives us an insight into what happened at the Passover when a nation was in bondage for 400 years? 400 years of making bricks. 400 years of being in slavery, 400 years of working 16-hour days, 400 years of working in the back-breaking, sun-scorched heat of Egypt, 400 years of going through intolerable, miserable lives under the rod of Pharaoh. Look at this remarkable scripture, Psalm 105, verse 36. This is the Lord. He also destroyed all the firstborn in their land, the first of all their strength. And we're going to refer to this in just a moment. But this is just to point out the context of what the next verse says. Look at the next verse. He also brought them out with silver and gold. Who would like a bit more of that? Thank you, Jesus. And there was none. Say that with me. There was none. There was none feeble among his tribes. We are talking about 2 million people, estimated conservatively, 2 million people are now walking in perfect health after a lifetime of slavery and bondage, Something happens between the time before they experienced the Passover and the day after the Passover where they walked out completely free, completely healed, completely whole. Whew. Man. I can just imagine interviewing them. Can you imagine that? Let's do an interview. We walk up to this old guy and he's walking perfectly straight. Straight back, not stooped. Sir, you look quite old. This is when they're exiting Egypt and he's got a load of gold on his back and his bags are packed with wads of money. Because did you know in one day God gave them an economy, in one day the Bible literally tells that the Egyptians gave away all their wealth to the children of Israel. And one day their whole economic fortune changed. God can do anything. Hallelujah. Woohoo! Amen. And so, I'm interviewing this old guy and I'm saying to him, sir, you look remarkably young for your age. How old are you? I'm 80. I've never felt so good. I've got no pain. I've got no arthritis. I've been working in the brick kiln factory for 60 years, ever since at the age of 20. And here I am walking. I'm going for a long walk. I'm walking all the way from Egypt to the land of Israel. I'm ready to go. I've got a sprite in my step. And hey, you should go and interview my 90-year-old mate over there. See him? He's chasing the old girl around. See her running around over there? She's tossing her hair back in delight as he's running after her and chasing her down. This 90-year-old guy, something happened, praise God, before the Passover and after the Passover. And I'm going to point out today why something can happen to you and your body as you partake of the emblems today. Praise God. You know, it's interesting, the word feeble comes from a Hebrew word, kashai, but it's often referred to not just general sickness, it's talking about people with problems with their feet. That the context is used in. And yet 2 million people are using their feet to walk out of that nation with strength, carrying, you know how heavy gold is? Carrying the gold, hallelujah, out of that nation, praise God. And we know if you've got disease, you can't walk far. In the Egyptian heat of the day, you're not walking out with disease. You're not walking out with cancer. You're not walking out with corns on all your feet. You're not walking out with lame problems, with issues, with organs. You're walking out because something has taken place where you're no longer feeble. You're no longer experiencing the pain of being in slavery all of your life. You're walking out because something took place at the Passover that absolutely radically changed your physical body. Praise God. What happened at the Passover? We know that God instructed Moses to tell the people that every household had to take a firstborn unblemished lamb. We know who we're talking about here, right? Who was that pointing to? Jesus. What did John say when Jesus walked over the hill? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is all a prefigurement, a symbolism of what Jesus was going to come to do. We know he was killed at the Passover. We know he died and shed his blood at the Passover. And so God says this, I want you to take this lamb, and what I want you to do, I don't want you to boil it. I want you to roast it, and I want you, and literally it says, look at this in Exodus 12:9. I want you to catch this today. Woo! I saw this week, and I'm thinking, this is awesome. Do not eat any of the meat raw or boiled in water. The whole animal, including the head, you've got neuropathic problems. You've got headaches that you continue to get. Migraines, you've got leg problems. I want you to eat the head. I want you to eat the legs. I want you to eat the internal organs. All of them must be roasted over the fire. The whole body of the lamb was to be partaken of at the Passover, and something took place that caused them to walk out of there as they took place in the Bible. And the Bible tells us this. Moses said to the people, if you will do this and you will take part and you will fully participate and you will discern the Lord's body, that lamb, on that night when the angel of death, my messenger, comes, and I want you to take the blood that you've shed from killing that lamb and I want you to paint it over the lintels of every door in your house. And when the angel comes, of death comes, he cannot enter that house because something's already died in that house, and he cannot get access to your house to take the firstborn. But all of the firstborn sons of Egypt were killed that night. But they were protected by the blood of the Lamb that night. And not only were they protected, but they were healed. They were supernaturally made whole. Not one feeble person amongst 2 million people. None. You see, this is the thing, as Pastor Phil was saying, and I want to tap in on this. This is the thing. How many of you ever remember the movie? I think it was a 90s movie, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. You all remember that? It was like a classic for families. We all watched that. You know what the devil's strategy is? Jehovah El Shaddai. This is Satan speaking to God. I've shrunk the faith of your kids. Because when the devil shrinks our faith, we can no longer connect with the supernatural word of God. We're now living in a place where we are disconnected from the life of the Spirit that the word of God brings to us. And the devil is a master. This is what fear does. Fear causes you to shrink back. This is what disappointment does. Causes you to never trust again. Because, oh no, I did that before and I got disappointed. So you shrink back. The devil is the master of shrinkage. He loves to shrink anything that is rightfully yours in the Bible. He wants to shrink it so you can no longer connect with the promises that God has made for your life today. But I want to tell you something. At the Passover, Jesus blew up our faith. Jesus blew up our ability to receive. Jesus blew up in such a way that there's an explosion of healing across a nation of 2 million people that could now run out of Egypt and into the promised land today. And God has that for you and I today. As we take of the emblems this morning, as you take of that cup, which is his blood, as you take of that bread, which is his body, by his stripes, the Passover Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, took it on himself today so that you no longer have to receive all that sickness and that disease upon your own body. So as you step forward this morning, as we partake at the altar today of the emblems, as you come, as you feel led this morning to do that, we're going to get the shepherds up and they're going to come and they're going to serve you, and they're going to serve you communion today. This is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you eat it, be healed. This is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ today. As you drink it, you will be healed today. You see, your healing is not coming to a person today. Your healing is not coming to somebody who's got tingly hands today. And I say that respectfully. Today, your healing is in him. It is in what Christ has done for you. You can expect, as you partake of those emblems today, for something radical to change, that your doctor's report will change, that you will see the most magnificent thing take place in your body today. Jesus did it all the time. He said to the Canaanite woman, his disciples said, you can't go to them because they're not from Israel. And he said, I can't come and heal your daughter because you're not. I was sent to the house of Israel. And Jesus and he said, I can't give my food to the Gentiles. And she said, but Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs from under your table. In other words, she was saying, you just need to give me a crumb and my daughter's going to be healed. And he said, to great is your faith, your daughter is healed from this moment on. He sent his word and he healed her in Jesus' name. The woman with the issue of blood, she said in herself, and I want you to say this in yourself today, and say in myself, as I eat and drink these emblems today, virtue and power is going to flow out from Jesus' sacrifice at the cross, and it's going to heal my body today and make me whole. No more feeble, no more bad reports. You will act your age and younger in Jesus' name because of what God has done in your body. Jesus wants to unshrink your faith today. So I'd like to invite the shepherds to all come forward. today. And as they come forward, and I'd like to invite Viv and Jackie just to come. We've got a song I'm going to get them to sing as you come and as you receive from the Lord. I don't want you to come looking to a pastor, looking to a man, looking to a woman today. As you come, you're looking to Christ, the sacrificial lamb. By his stripes, you have been healed. In Jesus' powerful name, come to the cross. Come to Jesus today and receive all that he has for your body. Amen. You know, when he said, I want you, he said, I don't want you just to eat the nice parts, a leg of lamb. He said, I want you to roast everything, organs. I want you to eat the heart. I want you to eat the kidney. I want you to eat the liver, because it's all coming under the Passover. And what that means today is that if you've got heart problems, liver problems, if you've got head problems, whatever problem you've got, it was dealt with at the Passover of Jesus Christ. He took it upon himself so that you can be healed today.